This morning, we're going to be ministering on an aspect of building up the body and keeping it together, which has to do with prayer. So I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us. I can just sense how we all kind of cringe inwardly about prayer. I want a message on how to deal with my issues, or how I can get more money, or whatever. Isn't that what we could do? Think we come here looking for a need. Well, I want to speak to you first before I go any further about finances, real quick. Can I give you a financial tip? Here's a financial tip. Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Most people think they're seeking the kingdom of God and fail to be righteous. You know what righteousness is? Do the right thing. If you're not tithing, you're not doing the right thing. Could it be any clearer than that? If you're not walking in good relationship with your brothers and sisters, you're not doing the right thing. If you're living selfishly, you're not doing the right thing. If you're independent, you're not doing the right thing. Do the right thing. And God will be faithful to you. And that's not works. That's just simple faith and obedience. And if you do these things, you're going to see God bless you tremendously. That's financial tip 101. It works all the time. If you never got another tip, that one would be good enough. Don't make excuses with God. Don't ever make excuses and tell him you can't. Ask him to help you can. Do the right thing. Don't make excuses. He doesn't buy into your excuses. People do, but you can never con God. Amen. Faith is it's faith in action. Amen. Right now, this morning, somebody's getting saved and baptized into the body of Christ. Perhaps hundreds at a second, thousands in an hour, millions in a day. Getting saved and baptized into what? One body. Right now, in the earth, God is moving to reveal something that the church has not been walking in for centuries. And that is the one body of Christ. Throughout history, just as a kind of go over things, God recovers truths that have not been functioning in the church. He recovers gift ministries, the Ephesians gift ministries of the apostle, pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist. All of these things he's been recovering throughout history in order to bring us to a place where we can see the one new body of Christ functioning in the earth. Are you going to forget this? Don't ever forget this. If you want to know what God is doing in the earth right now, this is what God is doing in the earth right now. He is making aware to us there's only one body. It's a spiritual living entity that encompasses all the earth and manifests itself locally in bodies like ours. We are the body of Christ, a living organism, and yet we're part of the larger body of Christ throughout the world. And every time somebody gets saved, I know you say, oh, he got brought into the kingdom. That's scripture. It's true. But also baptized into the body of Christ. So this is where we can function to build up this body until we reach that glorious state called the measure of the fullness of Christ. We're a long way from that. And as we go along, every person in the body becomes matured and developed into a better Christian. Everybody needs to know Jesus Christ by himself, but nobody can know Jesus Christ all by themselves. We need each other. Christ in us helps each of us mature in Christ and develop in Christ. So right now, God is putting people in the body. Every second, somebody's getting born again, baptized into the body of Christ. The reason we get water baptized is to identify the fact that we've been baptized in Christ already. It's not to get rid of sins. It's to get rid of the old man and to connect with Christ who was buried and raised. Our sins are dealt with at the cross by the blood. This is just a little review. And now, at the same time people are being baptized into the body of Christ, the enemy is pulling people away from, not out of, but away from the body of Christ. So there's a spiritual war going on. It's a tug of war, some in, some out. Why would Satan keep pulling people out? Because the most threatening thing is the body of Christ that functions like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One, in purpose, in power, in total unification, oneness. Right now we have it scattered. And members are constantly being assaulted, pulled out of the fellowship. Sometimes they've worked their way back in, the Holy Spirit working on them. Next thing you know, they've disappeared. Why? Because they have some vulnerability in them that the enemy preys on and pulls them back out so that they do not have an opportunity to fulfill their own destiny. And he deceives them into thinking that they're okay, that they can function okay outside. And they quote a few scriptures on Facebook to each other. And they're deceived in thinking that that's the same as this. That's not the same as this. That's not the same as you gathering in house churches, loving on each other, caring for each other, praying with each other, fellowshipping with each other, taking on each other's burdens, beseeching the Holy Spirit for gifts of the Spirit to help each other, to prophesy, to have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, to share a scripture, to bless them, to care for each other, and thereby build each other up in love. He doesn't want that. Satan doesn't want that. He'll do everything he can to pull people out. But God is going to win. Because his purposes will not be thwarted by the enemy. However, he does not work alone. He works with you. He uses us. He wants us. We can almost say he needs us because he's ordained that it would work that way, that we would maintain the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that we would maintain our one body life. But too many of us forget that or are ignorant of that and get pulled out. And right now we're seeing some people get restored and we praise God. But I tell you what, the moment somebody comes back, they are still a target for the enemy. So we need to pray. Don't we? The last chapter of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, tells us about the armor of God that we are to put on. And it ends in verse 18, that we are always to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and what? Supplication for all the saints. We must pray for one another. That is a spiritual warfare tactic against the purposes of the enemy. And it completes the purposes of God, fulfills them, because we are willing to pray for one another. It's a necessary thing. I'd like you to turn to Exodus chapter 17. You know something? I want to tell you something. Don't forget the things I've taught you. I forget sometimes some of the things I've taught. It's not It's not easy to remember everything when you are, how's that old saying? When you're fighting alligators, you forget you were in there to drain the swamp. And life is challenging. There are financial trials, which I just gave you a solution to. There are physical issues, health issues, family issues, personal issues, work issues, struggles. And they kind of come along and interfere with us and cause us to forget things and we lose our focus. It's not common. I mean, it's not uncommon. It's common to everybody. And so we have to go back and pick up where we left off and get restored. Why am I here? What am I doing? Right now, you are integral in the purposes of God to build the one body of Christ. I know that this is coming against an old mindset. You think that there are certain people that do it and you just simply participate by coming. But I tell you what, the day is coming when the littlest of us, the weakest of us, those who think the least of themselves are going to come up with the most powerful gifts of the Spirit. I believe a day is coming when some of you are going to have answers for cancer and gifts of healing to heal cancer and diabetes. And perhaps Alzheimer's. I believe a day is coming when you're going to have knowledge to unlock resources in the earth. I believe you're going to find a day when the weakest of us have words of wisdom for the brightest of us. I believe that when you begin to seek God the way you should be seeking Him at all times, there is no end to the possibilities of how God will use you. He does not want pew sitters. He wants you. Next Sunday, you ought to go with every hope, expectation, excitement, desire to have God use you for the benefit of one another. And you will say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord for the sake of my brothers and my sisters. I will go to the house of the Lord. That's why. And you know when you do that, when you bless one another, when you honor one another, when you care for one another, when you do the one another things, the love, and you seek the very best for them, then Jesus says, inasmuch as you've done this to this person, the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And that is worship. That is worship. That is true worship in spirit and truth. To do it to one another is to do it to Jesus. Yeah, it's fun to get together. Going to eat something. I love to eat. Eat something and laugh a little bit, but also be serious. Now, what I'm sharing with you isn't taught everywhere. Very few places are teaching this yet. I'm not saying we're special. I'm just saying that right now this is God. He's having us share this. Eventually, it's going to spread. But there needs to be a people, little people like you and me, very little people, very, very little people like Gideon hiding under the wine press, whom God will go to and say, hey, you mighty man and woman of valor. It always takes little people or people who don't think they're honorable enough, and he's going to tap you and say, you know what you're doing right now is very important in the earth. Right now, you're part of my perfect will for the body of Christ. You are stepping out and doing what I want the whole body to do. So you become a breakthrough people, a pioneer people. Don't think you're not usable. Don't think you're getting too old. Don't even think you know it all. In fact, knowing it all is your enemy. Right now, give yourself over to God. Like we heard earlier, because you're a pioneer people, you're going to have breakthroughs. We are in a war, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. And the best thing the enemy can do is keep you from thinking you are in a war because he can deceive you. But overall, we are in warfare. That's what it says in Ephesians. So, this is big stuff. God's reserved it for you. He calls you and me to do these things. I think it's wonderful. Isn't it great to be alive? If you're not flowing in this, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be irritated. You're going to be unsettled. You don't know what to do. You're always going to be looking to God for something. Give me this, give me that. I'm not happy. You know what happiness is? Doing the will of God. When he reveals it, do it. That's immediate obedience. I've studied the history of all the patriarchs. Every one of them went through scourgings, horrible, horrific challenges of their mind to obey God. Along the way, they created Ishmaels, like Abraham. How many of you are creating Ishmaels? Doing what you think you should do and what you think God wants you to do when it's not. And you end up creating something that is going to end up harming you. For those of you who don't know, Ishmael was not the product of Abraham and Sarah, but the product of Abraham and Hagar. She was a handmaiden to Sarah. She was not the one that was supposed to give birth to the promise that God gave to Abraham. And when she produced Ishmael, she produced Israel's nightmare. We've all produced Ishmaels. Let's stop doing that. What do you want of me, God? And don't get a quick idea. Sometimes it's going to take days or weeks or longer to hear God. In the meantime, he'll do some things, create some circumstances, do a little this in your life, a little that in your life, and then all of a sudden, bingo, he'll drop the answer on. But when you know the will of God, do it. Right now, this is what he wants you to do. He wants you to be productive in building up the body of Christ. We are going to be a prototype so we can be an example to others and say, yes, it works. It works. This is what God is doing with us. See, it's working. Do you know there are people who are getting hungry for this? They're tired of the same old kind of church, full of programs, full of activities, but people not being matured and developed. So I said, let's go to Exodus, right? Okay, 17. Verse 8. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand like this, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on the one side, one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out from remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. What I want you to see, anyway, let me finish out. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. Or I think it says Jehovah Nissi in some translations. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. What I want you to see is this picture. Moses is on top of a hill. Joshua and some others were going to be doing some fighting. He fought. Moses stood on the top of the hill. He lifted up the rod of the Lord. His hands were up. What was he doing? He's praying. My God is sufficient. My God is strong. My God will defeat the enemies of our lives. My God. My God. And then his hands got tired. And they dropped down. So a couple of his buddies came over, Aaron and Hur, and they lifted up his hands. And some people teach, well, you see how important it is for leaders to have people come and lift up your hands. That's a good message, but here's another one. What's as important is that we help each other pray. Come on. Come on. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and what? Not faint. Sometimes we need the encouragement of others to get us to pray so that we don't faint and we don't lose, because when his hands dropped down, the battle was won by the enemy. Right now, the church's hands are just about here. Not up very high. Not very much prayer. We got to get them up. Lives are at stake. Purposes are at stake. Destiny's at stake. God's purpose for you is at stake. Somebody else needs your prayer. Not just you. The whole body needs your prayer. Right now, we're in a war. Like I said, God's baptizing people into the one body and the enemy's dragging them out. That's what's happening. And then people go around saying, well, there's one poor church I've been working with who's lost a number of people through offenses, squabbles, unforgiveness, you know, the same old nonsense. And then the people leave, and you know what they say? There's no more anointing there. They start to accuse the church instead of taking responsibility for themselves. And then they blather that around to everybody in the neighborhood. So all the disenfranchised, disgruntled, angry, competitive people buy into that. And the church suffers all the more. And the pastors are grieved and brokenhearted. That's the kind of stuff that goes on. When somebody comes here that has been in another church, we want to find out why they came here. And when we find out why they came here, if it's God, we embrace them. If it's not God, we ship them home. That's been our history. Ship them home if they don't belong here. Receive them if they do. Leaders know that. Leaders know because God gives them the responsibility to know. So we're in a warfare. Well, why does the enemy again want to keep the members out? Because if the members are not part of the body, it's like losing part of the body. Limbs, arms, legs, noses, eyes, who aren't functioning the way they should be. So that the perfection of the body isn't going to be there. Because we need each other. The whole body needs the whole body. Everybody, every congregation which makes up a body of Christ needs everybody in it. That includes me. I need you. I need those of you who prophesy to me, send me scriptures, speak to me. I am not alone, like I can get everything on my own. We all need each other. It's absolutely, I've seen a few people get pulled out again because of the deception of the enemy and some friends. We are in a tug of war, friends. We need a wake-up call. Let's go now to Exodus 37. Exodus, I said? Ezekiel. Help me. I need it, don't I? The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And the Lord is speaking to the church today. Can those disconnected bones live? So I answered, and I said, O Lord, you know. And he said to me, well, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will put sinews on you, meaning I'm going to connect you. Sinews connect the bones. And bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. I could say they're the whole body of Christ. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, now I'll put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Praise his holy name. Well, some of this is figurative language. It's pictorial. But it does reveal to you that there is a person here that looks like it's lying in the valley, and the bones of that person have all been disconnected. They're scattered. There's very many of them. I read an article recently by a pretty good prophetic person. He said there are two kinds of people in the church or in the world right now. He said there are those who we call the unchurched, meaning they've never been in church, they don't know Jesus Christ, they've not been part of the body. He said, but there's a growing number of what is called the de-churched, meaning those who have left and are out of the fellowship of the body, no more functional, but separated, and like Ezekiel, dry bones, not full of life, they're like dead. They don't have the Spirit moving on them because the Spirit moves on the things that the Spirit is full of the purposes of God. It's hard to get the Spirit to move on dry bones until the dry bones are willing to say, I need your Spirit. And that happens when people like us begin to pray for them. The word dry, I'm going to give you 10, 12 different points from this scripture. Number one, there are many out there. There are more de-churched people today than ever in the history of the body. De-churched. They might say they belong to the universal church, but they don't function in the local church, so it's kind of like hypocrisy. It's an oxymoron. They need to be brought back in. Two, they're very dry, and that word dry here means ashamed, confused, disappointed. Could be all three in some cases. Sometimes they're ashamed and they don't know how to get back in, or they're full of pride. Pride will keep people from coming back and admitting that they need the body. Some have had breakthroughs, thank God. Pride will keep people out. So they need the prayers that are going to bring the breath of life back to them. The word of God to us, 3 says, prophesy, declare, intercede, so that the bones can hear. We're going to do that this morning. We're going to start to pray and prophesy over all the disconnected members of the body of Christ. And the word of God that we're going to prophesy to them and pray for is that you will live, and that word live there means revived. You will be revived in the purposes of God. Can I tell you a secret? We find out about people who once were part of the body of Christ, functioning part, who are now on their own, living separate lives, raising families. They're having nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. Ongoing, deep decades of trouble because they're not part anymore. And you know why we hear about it? Because God wants us to hear about it. Isn't that right, honey? God lets Andrea know more than me about the welfare of folks who are not in the body. And they pretend everything is okay. They quote a scripture, send a nice little picture. But deep inside, they're like dry bones. And they know it. And their pride, their shame, whatever, is keeping them out. And the only help they're going to get is our prayers. They can't do it without us. They need our prayers. It may take a few months, a few weeks, a few years. We don't care. This is part of God's will, that they get back into the purposes of the Lord. So they get, first of all, restored into the purposes of God, a connection with Him that is deeper and more profound than what they've had before. And right now we see a noise and a shaking and a rattling, and there is some coming together. It's like, boom, bang, the bones are bouncing off of each other as God is beginning to bring them around, and they're connecting here and connecting there, and they're having encounters here and encounters there, and we're meeting up with these folks, and we're speaking into their lives, and we're making it seem like, hey, it's not so bad, maybe I can come back. And we're loving on them because they need to be loved again. They need to know, because they're ashamed, they've been out so long. They know they're wrong, and the best thing for them is to love them. Isn't that right? Love them. Listen to them. Love them and pray for them. And don't be impatient with them. And give them hope. And love them. And give them hope and love them and encourage them. And many of them are going to come back into this body, and all of them should go back into all the various bodies that they belong. They're going to end up standing up again. Right now they're living like they've been slain and they're being beat up. Don't let anybody fool you. Everybody, when you encounter them, is going to tell you they're okay. How you doing? Yeah, good. Yeah, pretty good. If you only knew. They need us. They need our, one, first of all, they need our prayers. They need our prayers. Before they're going to become an army with us, we have to see that they have been cut off and divided, and division is not God's way. Oneness is God's way. For many things seem hopeless, like it can never be restored. But they're going to come up, figuratively speaking, out of their graves, their dead places. Let's imagine it was you, where you'd been cut off, some foolish thing happened, some offense took place, some deception, some anger, some whatever, and you got pulled out and you wandered around. And after a while, the months tick along, you start to think, well, it's not so bad, I'm okay. And that's the enemy's plan. And the longer he keeps you out there, the more he messes with you, and the more he lies to you and keeps you from coming back. And then you begin to get a little prideful, like, well, I don't have to go back. You get a little tough in yourself, and you get a little ashamed, a little disappointed. All these little things start to feed your reasons to stay out, and the enemy loves that. He loves it. He's winning. He's keeping you out, keeping you from destinies. But some prayers from godly people like you are going to send a spirit down to those lonely people. And that gives them help and hope to come back in. They'll come up out of their graves. They'll be restored, and they'll be back in their places, and God will use them mightily. Amen is right. So I want to pray this morning. Do you want to pray for these people, for your brothers and sisters? Some of them are family members. Some of them have been close friends. People that you love and long for. Let's stand up and prophesy and declare that the enemy cannot have these people. If there's certain ones that are on your heart, you can lift their names up to the Lord, but we're going to just cover this in a general way. To prophesy means to say something the same as God. Right now, God wants these people back. So I'd like you to declare that prophetically, out of your own mind, out of your own, with your own words, openly. You don't have to listen to the person next to you. Just prophesy out, Holy Spirit, Begin to tell Holy Spirit, go to these people. Go ahead, keep it up. We need the Holy Spirit to go to these people. You know who they are, Holy Spirit. Track them down. Speak to them. Prophesy to them. Declare good things to them. Encourage them. Begin to give them hope. Help them. They need vision again. They need your power. They can't do it alone. They're struggling. Prophesy to them. Right now, speak it out. Oh God, thank you for Holy Spirit who can be everywhere, who can be with everyone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Beloved, it could have been you and it could have been me. It could be us who's in need of prayer right now. Now declare that Satan cannot have them. He cannot have his way with them. We declare, we speak out, Satan, get your hands off. Holy Spirit is greater. We speak out into the winds where the principalities and powers are. And we say to you, the mighty God, the Lord our God, he is fighting now by his Spirit with holy angels against the enemy who's trying to keep these people from their destiny, from where they belong, from the purposes that God has for them. You will not succeed. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your family members, your friends, right now to the Lord in that respect. Intercede for them. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, send hope to these people. Many of them are hopeless. They don't feel they could ever be restored, can't come back. They feel a failure. They feel that they've perhaps lost it. God, we speak to them. Holy Spirit, speak to them. Send angels to speak to them. Remind them of scriptures. Give them encouragement. We speak against the lies that people have received from themselves and from others and from the enemy. Bring truth to them, Lord. Truth. We prophesy truth into the body. Truth. Truth. Thank you, Lord. Our children, many of us are longing for our children to come back. Friends, people we once walked with. Oh God, thank you, Lord. This is your will. We're in agreement with you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God. Lord, give them hope again. Thank you, Jesus. Give them hope again. Give them hope again. Their futures, their destinies, their purposes. Living a fulfilled life, fitting in, belonging, being loved, included, no longer separated and divided. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Lord, your word is true, and your word says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life.
Amen. Amen. That's how to fight with the Word of God. Amen. Excellent. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good word, sister. Thank you. Enemy, you're not able to snatch them away. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise, too, for all those who have come back, and those who will come back. Every prayer should be ended with thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving says, I believe. Thanksgiving says, I receive. Thanksgiving says, I praise you for your goodness, God. So let's give God thanksgiving right now and praise and thankfulness for what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, God, we ask you, to hover over us and keep us faithful to pray this way. When we are not together and when we are together. Keep us powerful in prayer, because men and women need our prayers. And you want them. So we're going to dedicate ourselves to that. We give you praise and thanks for it. Everybody could say, amen. All right, saints, love on each other.